now. Stop humming, it's everything to change. That walk to make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. He got the wave of wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Top humming intros always go the hardest, cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of America's Game, episode number 81. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL, and you can also follow the show at America's Game Pod on X. Continuing quarterback month here with Koopa, and Koopa is going to be my guest host on this one, and we're going to be talking about quarterback warp on this episode. So Koopa, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Doing good. Right now, as we're recording this, I'm getting slammed with a good bit of snow and ice and all the wintry weather mix that's coming through, but holding in here. Got a nice ability to not have to go into work today, which was nice.
Yeah, I saw you guys were getting all that, like, it's a lot of the eastern and southeast, and it's avoiding Ohio for some reason, so I was like, thank goodness, at least I'm not getting it this time. Sorry that you have to deal with it, though, man. I was seeing some weather video earlier on the news, and yeah, it's pretty gnarly out there a couple places already.
Yeah, it was my girlfriend commented to me that she's like, I don't know that I've ever heard ice hit the window this hard, and because yeah. That's just how it was coming down. It was just turning into ice chunks, and then it was windy, and so it was smacking the window, and it's like, that sounds really bad.
Yeah, yep. And then, I think like before Christmas, we got hit with 3 feet of snow. That was crazy. I haven't had that much snow in a long time. So, yeah, crazy weather this year, that's for sure, too. Super Bowl happened, though, too, man. Chiefs and Eagles went and played. The Eagles pretty much whooped that ass the whole game. What were your thoughts on it?
I mean, the final score of 40-22 does not properly display right. How lopsided the game was. I mean, it was the 40-6 outcome, and then the Eagles basically said, all right, we're just going to let the Chiefs continue to walk down the field on 4- and 5-yard pass plays, and they'll score a couple touchdowns and drain 6 minutes off the clock every single time. Yeah. I personally, it was one of those things where I didn't want to see the Chiefs win, but I also was like, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to see like the Chiefs just get 3 in a row and then just start seeing, all right, how many times are they going to win the Super Bowl in a row before somebody else beats them? Like, right. It one of those, okay, this is getting ridiculous. You kind of have to root for them to just like see how long they can stretch the record. But they came out there and they just looked outclassed the entire time. I think all the warts that the entire season, everyone was like, there's no way the Chiefs are going to make it this year because look at all these things that they aren't doing well. No other team was able to capitalize it on those. And until you finally get to the Super Bowl and the Eagles were the team that was able to do that. They just completely shut them down, both sides of the ball. And it was one of those Super Bowls. It wasn't a great game, but it was good to finally see Patrick Mahomes not just go out there and waltz the field and hear the announcers glaze all over him and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, it just reminded me a lot of the Tampa Bay Chiefs Super Bowl. I mean, it was the Chiefs couldn't block, and here it is again. Chiefs couldn't block at all. So, I mean, this is like a perfect example of literally, quarterback is the most important position, obviously. But after that, it's a really good argument between defensive line and offensive line, but you want to load up on both of them. You want to have a good offensive line to protect your guy, and you want to have a crazy defensive line where you only have to move, you know, pressure with four guys. You can have the other guys drop back into coverage and cover, and the quarterback has nothing to do. I mean, that's how the Giants beat the Patriots, that undefeated team. Same thing. Like, they just had that NASCAR package, and the Patriots couldn't block it. You bet your ass the Chiefs are going to be going to get some left tackle and right tackle this offseason. I mean, and some Trey Smith's a free agent. Are they going to bring him back? I mean, their center is pretty solid. Dooney's been pretty good, but yeah, a couple of those other guys definitely not good. Their left tackle spot is a big, big missing point. So I would expect the Chiefs to be doing whatever they can to get a left tackle this offseason. And then, you know, probably the other tackle spot, or they, you know, see if they bring back Trey Smith too. I mean, it's not like they're a terrible team. They're still a really good team. They're probably going to be in the AFC Championship game against next year as long as they're healthy. But yeah, they just gotta get some offensive line help. But credit to the Eagles, man, and Howie Roseman. He's built an incredible team, and that's a team that could do a three-peat on their own, honestly. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles repeated again next year, because their team is that young, that good. All their defensive talent, all these young kids are on their rookie deals. Like, they're not paying any of those guys massive money. Jalen's already got his big deal. A.J. Brown seems like he's happy with his money right now. You're going to have to probably pay Devontae Smith here soon. So, I mean, their offensive line's still great. Like, they draft really good, man. I mean,
oh yeah,
Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell this year, two starters for them, and were, you know, huge components this whole postseason for them. So yeah, congrats to the Eagles for sure. Yeah, I'm happy they won. It was nice to see one of my teams I root for do pretty good. So I was happy for that. Let's go ahead. Let's go into some quarterback warp, though. So I'm going to let you start it off here. Tell us about what is quarterback warp, or what is warp in general, and then maybe a little bit about where we can find it on the website and all that kind of info. So I'll let you kick it off with that.
Yeah, so warp, if you haven't heard of it through all the South Harmon content, stands for wins over replacement player. What it is it is a metric to identify how worth it to your team is a player, specifically from a fantasy lens. So it doesn't look at anything in terms of, hey, how is this player's yards per route run, or even like how many yards does a player get, how many touchdowns does a player get. It doesn't care. The only metric it cares about is fantasy points. And fantasy points relative to all the other players in your same league. So if you're trying to compare two different quarterbacks, like say you were trying to compare Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, it's going to look at the points that they put up. And then what it does is it adjusts the total value in terms of the worth to your team based on how many games you're expected to win by having that player on your team. Over if, say, a Jalen Hurts had gone down with an injury and you needed to get somebody else, that person is the quote-unquote replacement player. And so that points difference between somebody like Jalen Hurts and that replacement player that would often be like quarterback 25, how worth it is it to your team? How many games are you expecting to win or lose over the course of the season as a result? And what you can do is you can go check out this tool at warp.life. That links you straight to the Warp page on the South Harmon website. And what you do is you put in your league, and the tool will just grab all of your league settings. And the whole point is, okay, I put in my sleeper username is KoopaTroopa8. I choose whichever league that I want to choose just in the drop-down menu, and I hit calculate. And the tool goes through, it calculates the warp for that league, and it gives you a nice little chart that allows you to see, hey, which position is better, how steep is the curve, like the drop-off from one player to another. So what you can see is, okay, for various different players, what does it look like for the most recent season, or the season before, or even just an average of the past five seasons. So I have on there like multi-year, it will just average them all out. So that way you aren't biasing yourself towards any one specific season. And when we start getting into quarterbacks, the thing that you really see stand out is that the top set of quarterbacks, they're dominated by the rushing guys. Your Lamar Jackson, your Jalen Hurts, your Jaden Daniels, and your Josh Allen. Like, those four guys absolutely dominate from a warp perspective. And the first thing I want to do is ask you, Eric, because I listened to America's Game last week, and you said you have a tier of three in that tier one. You left out Jalen Hurts. Yep. To me, looking at warp, it's really clear that for me, I'm like, it's a tier of four. Jalen Hurts is right up there with those guys. Has seeing the Super Bowl change anything for you, or are you still a tier of three?
I think I could get behind putting him up there, yeah. I just think, like, his passing wasn't as good as it had been in the past, like, and, yeah, just his passing wasn't there for me this year compared to the other guys. Like, Lamar just putting up monster. I mean, I know he's never going to have 40 passing touchdowns again. Like, that's going to be crazy. But, yeah, I could – I mean, it's right there. Like, I don't mind putting him up there. Like, if I'm in a startup draft today, like, those are definitely my first four picks in a super flex league. Doesn't matter what kind of league it is. If it's point per carry, they're definitely up there. If it's not, they're still going to be up there for me. So, kind of like Koopa was talking about, like, if you look at pretty much – any warp for any type of league, those guys are always at the top. So this is why, like, kudos to Mike. Mike was the one pushing this last year with Jaden Daniels, that he was taking him over Caleb Williams. He was taking Jaden Daniels at 101. And this is why, the rushing quarterback. So if you have some rushing ability, elite rushing ability, I should say, to put up 700, 800 yards, and then you get in 10 touchdowns, something like that, like, you are going to be at the top of the warp chart every single year. That's why we were super high on a guy like Anthony Richardson. Now, things haven't worked out yet, but his ceiling, I'm still interested, because his ceiling, if everything finally clicks for him, he's going to be right up there with Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and those guys. Another one that, you know, we could talk about later, but I just want to mention him now. In this draft class, like, I think Jalen Milroe could be a guy like that. And if he gets at least decent draft capital, I would say a top 50 pick, I'm interested in Jalen Milroe just for that reason. Even if he goes to, like, if Philadelphia drafts him in the second round, let's say, and he's Jalen Hurts' backup, I'm still going to have a little bit of interest in him just in case Jalen does get hurt. You know, things do happen, and Jalen Milroe can run the same kind of offense. He has the rushing ability, just kind of like a Malik Willis. That's why I had Malik Willis, I think, as my QB 2 or 3 for backup quarterbacks. Like, it's his rushing ability is going to put him up there. Josh Dobbs, another guy like that. He, you know, another guy that I think I had fairly high in my backup quarterback rankings too. So, yeah, it just shows you that rushing quarterbacks are king in fantasy right now, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. I mean, you literally have to have, like, a 50 touchdown pass season, like a Peyton Manning, a Aaron Rodgers had one year, to, like, even be, like, crack with these guys. Like, you have to put up, like, the most amazing seasons, and that's just an anomaly. That not every quarterback is doing that every single season.
Yeah, and the guys that are doing that, they oftentimes come out of nowhere. I mean, a couple of years ago, that guy was Geno Smith, and he came out of nowhere. He was quarterback 5 on the year in terms of warp.
And yeah, I think might have been the Stafford Super Bowl year. He had like 40 touchdowns and was like 11th.
Yeah, it's not a straight, like, oh, they just need to go out and get a bunch of touchdowns. Like, the yardage is also a huge factor as well when you talk about just having that baseline for fantasy points. And so you end up with some situations where, like, somebody that you thought did really, really well, just, it isn't there. Like, pick a guy like Justin Herbert. Like, we know that he's a good NFL quarterback. He was really efficient, but he just never did anything to vault himself to the next level. Like, he was a solid quarterback. If you had him on your team, you probably weren't necessarily disappointed with any of the values, scores that he put up. But if he was somebody that was also putting down 60 yards on the ground, all of a sudden he's a totally different quarterback from a fantasy sense. Getting those extra 6 points a game can drastically swing your perspective. And so it's really interesting looking at, okay, what are the archetypes of all these guys? What do you actually need to have a top-level quarterback versus a lower-level quarterback? You can potentially get one season that matches. And so somebody to look out that has done this multiple times is Joe Burrow. This past season, Joe Burrow was able to match up in that range with your rushing quarterbacks. He actually beat Jalen Hurts this past year from a warp perspective. But Joe Burrow is also someone where he's in an offense that has T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And their running back situation is pretty mediocre and has been for years. And the question is that getting split up? Is T. Higgins still on the Bengals? Because we know Ja'Marr Chase definitely is going to be a Bengal for life. What we don't know is about T. Higgins. Can they afford to keep T. Higgins? Or is, because T. Higgins should get a ton of money. He should be a huge cap hit. And so it's the question of, are they all going to stay together? If they do stay together, Joe Burrow is that quarterback where I think it's right outside that range of the top four. He can probably consistently hit. And I don't think there's any other quarterback in the NFL, with the exception of a Patrick Mahomes that actually has a wide receiver room, that has that same capability. At least not that we've been able to see.
Right, yeah. I mean, like last year, just kind of looking at some of the awards from my league, like Baker Mayfield was fourth in this league that I'm looking at, and yep. He had, you know, I'm looking 41 touchdowns last year. Like Baker Mayfield, that's probably his career year. Jared Goff, 37 touchdowns, probably his career year. Sam Darnold, 35 touchdowns, probably his career year. So, I mean, it takes like literally a career year for these guys to even push anywhere close to these rushing quarterbacks in warp. So that's why, you know, I've always putting these rushing quarterbacks a little bit higher, even like if you just get like 400 yards, like a Bo Nix. Like I'm definitely interested in some Bo Nix. Brock Purdy runs the ball pretty well. Justin Herbert does. Kyler Murray still runs the ball. So I am interested in some of these guys. But it also puts a little bit of a damper on guys like CJ Stroud. That's why a lot of us were cautioning like these people that were taking CJ Stroud like 101, 102 last year in startups. Like he has to literally put up like these Joe Burrow type seasons every single season to even be up here in a top five warp category, without his rushing ability. Like he has the rushing ability, he just doesn't do it. So yeah, just little things like that. I noticed from warp as well.
Mm-hmm. And then you can see some of the flip side as well of like, take Anthony Richardson off of only 11 games to accumulate his warp. He's up there. He got himself all the way to 0.9. And what was the one thing that we said about Anthony Richardson in terms of like what his season looked like as a quarterback? He was horrendous. Like his completion percentage, I don't know for sure whether it was below 50% on the year, but it felt like it was with how many games he had below 50%. He threw so many interceptions. He basically had almost no yardage through the air, almost very few touchdowns through the air. But having that much rushing that he did, if he can figure it out this offseason, if he can become a even just competent passer of the football, he all of a sudden is going to vault himself probably past a lot of your Kyler, like the Kyler Murray, Jordan Love, Geno Smith range from this past year. He's probably better than all those guys. And that's without him even doing well. Like, he might be on the hot seat as a quarterback for the Colts and the entire time. But if he looks even mildly okay for fantasy purposes, it's going to be great. And it's going to be a totally different archetype of a lot of the other quarterbacks that you're usually looking at. You're looking at what I'm calling it. I have not really said this too much anywhere yet, but I'm calling this the dead zone range of quarterbacks. That whole Jordan Love, Geno Smith, Caleb Williams, Tua Tagovailoa, like that range of a startup where everybody's grabbing a quarterback for the purpose of, I feel like I need to have a quarterback and I don't want to be left with the last one. All of those quarterbacks are just fine. And somebody like Anthony Richardson is, if he can put it together to just be on the field and be somewhat competent, he's going to vault every single one of those for fantasy purposes.
Easily.
And nobody wants to touch him with a 10-foot pole right now.
Yep.
And this past week, I sent out so many trade offers of Anthony Richardson and the 101, and I asked for one of those top four quarterbacks. Is anybody willing to take the shot on Anthony Richardson, and then you also get the 101? So you get Ashton Jeanty, assuming that's probably what's best in your league. And every single reply I got was either a no or a, hey, I need like a wide receiver that's worth the first value. And at that point, you're like, okay, oh, the 101 in Jordan Addison. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty fair for any asset, like any top tier asset. Mm-hmm. And they're saying basically Anthony Richardson's worth nothing.
Yeah.
Everyone is scared of whether he's even going to start. But Warp is telling you that's the kind of archetype of a player that you take a chance on.
Yeah.
You take a chance on Anthony Richardson. Is he going to, like, if he plays? Because right now, yes, I have no idea whether he's going to play, which is great because he's really cheap. And so if you can get him really cheap off of that Anthony Richardson owner who just wants this draft pick so they can blow the 203 on trying to guess which running back is the guy to get there, all of a sudden, now you're going to have is somebody who could be that difference maker for you at a key position.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson's just a major buy right now. I agree with you. This is the type of risk that you take in fantasy football. Like, it could pay off tremendous for you, especially if you already have Josh Allen, Lamar, whatever, you know, one of those top guys. If you have one of those guys already and you can get Richardson as your QB2, like, you could destroy your league. If it hits, it could also blow up, but it also could really literally win you your league. So I think it's worth the risk, depending on who your quarterback two is. I'm kind of in the camp of, like, unless you're like a super high pass volume offense, kind of like Tampa Bay was, Cincinnati, I kind of just don't even want these like statue quarterbacks that much. Like, you know, Geno runs a little bit, but he's getting older. Like, that's going to stop. Like, Tua, do I even really want Tua? Like, I kind of want to get off of these guys if I can.
See, even the guys that run a little bit, I don't consider them running enough until they're running, like, more than 30 yards a game.
Yeah.
Which very few quarterbacks are doing that.
Yeah.
Like, there are very, very few. And the only guys that I even consider, like, oh, these guys are actually capable of doing that, that are in that lower range, are the Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray. And you look at Patrick Mahomes, basically he just had a really bad offense this year. They just are not able to throw the ball because they have no receivers.
Yeah.
And if he builds back up that receiver room, he actually has weapons to go through. They become more of that pass focus offense as opposed to just trying to run the ball all the time. Then he's somebody that can vault himself back up into that conversation of a top quarterback. But even with how little he had to do in the pass game this year, he still comes out as quarterback 11 because he's still running the ball enough. And the same thing goes with Kyler Murray. He comes out at quarterback 12 because he's running the ball enough. And people are talking about how Kyler Murray like is so bad. They're like, is he potentially going to just run out his contract and then be done in Arizona, that they just aren't going to want him anymore? And this is somebody that for fantasy purposes is still a quarterback one.
Yeah, he's been disappointing me. I'm one of the ones that I'm just not super keen on him. Like, I get it. Like, the rushing is somewhat there. Like, it's not 800 yards like it was his second year in the league. It's more in the 500-yard range, which is still really good. He's just, the passing just isn't there for me. I mean, like, 19 touchdowns last year, like, and it all, he's never been over 30 touchdown passes in a year, all that stuff that I mentioned on the last podcast. So like, he's definitely lower in my tiers, but I can't deny that is a fantasy factor just because of his rushing ability. Like, he can have 90 yards in a game and win you a week. So I get it.
Yeah. He's just somebody who, if you can, you can see the path to, if it gets put together from the passing perspective, he's going to be able to become a huge difference maker. We've just been waiting for the passing to get put together, and it just has never come together.
Yeah.
Where you got burned is if you bought him where you were expecting him to be like quarterback 6, quarterback 7, or whatever. But if you manage to get yourself down in the quarterback like 12, 13 range, like, and that's the expectation for Kyler, like, I think that's a great spot to be. Like, where he finished this past year, everyone is starting to pass on Kyler because they're like, hey, he didn't do well. I think it's value correcting essentially to what his floor is.
Yeah.
And if he ends up hitting higher than that floor, you're going to win on Kyler Murray.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not a guy that I like, but if it is, like, if I'm deciding between, like, those guys you mentioned earlier, like, I may take Jordan Love because I like him a little bit more, but there's a couple other guys that you mentioned in there, like the Tuas, the Goffs, those kind of guys. Like, I might take that upside because Marvin Harrison's not going to suck the rest of his career. He's going to get better. Trey McBride's an elite tight end. So, like, Kyler has elite weapons. They just need to work a little bit more on the offensive line and all that kind of stuff. So, like, things can get better for Kyler, and we'll see, you know, see what they do with free agency and the draft and all that. So I agree with you on that. Another thing I wanted to mention, too, is who are some of the quarterbacks, like, that have the rushing ability, like you were talking about, like 30 yards a game, probably more in the 25 to 20 range, that you kind of like as well? I think two that come to mind are like Bo Nix and Drake May. I think those guys could definitely be, you know, difference makers and with rushing per week.
Yeah, Drake May is definitely one of them. We didn't get to see him do as much this NFL season, but he showed some flashes of where he could vault himself up into that conversation. And you look at what he did at UNC, he ran the ball a lot. There was a reason for me that he was my top quarterback out of the not Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams tier.
Yeah,
same. Like, so I was drafting May over McCarthy and very consistently, and obviously everyone had them well above Bo Nix and Penix.
Yeah.
But the reason was because of that rushing ability. And that extra little bit is all that you need and what you're looking for from a fantasy perspective. So, yeah, Drake May, definitely one of them. Bo Nix, I did like to see that mobility out of him that he had this past year.
Yeah, I mean, in betting purposes last year, I was crushing his over every single week early on in prop bets, man. He was just nailing it.
Yeah, and I think we didn't expect that out of Bo Nix, and it will be interesting to see if that continues. I wonder how much of that was just a result of how that team is built. That running back room was just atrocious. Yeah. And so it makes me wonder whether just like he was just taking off and running because he would almost rather do it himself than try to find whatever running back was in a flat somewhere, or is escaping from the pocket and just like shedding off a block or something, because right. I don't think he necessarily wanted to give the ball to any of those guys too much.
Right. I think another one I like too this season with this new scheme, new coaching staff, was Herbert. I thought Herbert did run the ball a little bit more than expected. There was even some design quarterback runs from him this year too. So I like to see that he was moving a little bit more. So I think that gives him a little more fantasy appeal.
The thing that worries me about Herbert is that team, the running backs that they had this year of J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are two guys that, like, they looked really good for being really bad running backs.
Right.
And I am worried that you put somebody that's actually a good NFL running back there, and all of a sudden, all of those design runs that were given Justin Herbert, all those, the things that give him a lot of that mobility just kind of go away. Because now they don't need that.
Possibly, but I could see... I mean, because Greg Roman has run a lot of RPO stuff. Obviously, he had Kaepernick with the 49ers. He had Lamar with the Ravens. So I could see some of the RPO stuff, and Herbert just pulls it and runs with it. So I think that could help for it too. But I could see your point too. Like, if they upgrade the running back, you know, maybe he won't get as many. But I still think if he can get me 20 yards, 25 yards, you know, a game, I think that's pretty good. Plus, you know, a rushing touchdown or two here or there.
Yeah, he might give you that little bit extra that will keep him in that, like, quarterback 10 to 14 conversation on a year-over-year basis. But he's not going to vault above that unless the passing situation changes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks, too. Like, he's accurate and all that stuff, getting McConkey going this year. I mean, he was turning players like Stone Smart into a weekly fantasy start there at the end. And Will Disley, who is left for dead by me and Scott about 17 times, he came back from the dead and had a really good season. So, you know, get Herbert another weapon or two there. And I think that's another guy I love to invest in. I'm a little bit higher on him than most. I think another guy too, kind of how we mentioned Anthony Richardson earlier, I think there's definitely a possibility that Justin Fields ends up as a starter again this offseason. And you know, we see his warp on here. His warp's higher than, you know, some of these guys. Like, it's higher, this league that I'm looking at, it's higher than Trevor Lawrence, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Bryce Young. Like, yeah, some of those guys had some bad games early on, but I mean, Fields still outperformed them in his little bit of games. His warp per game is in this league. It's a point per carry league, but it was 0.173. If you look at that and compare it to, he's right there with, he's above Josh Allen at 1.172. So, I mean, Justin Fields could be another guy that you could invest in this offseason. Just kind of hoping maybe he gets the Steelers job again, or he goes somewhere else. I've heard possibility of him going to the Colts and being the backup to Richardson. And if Richardson doesn't work out, they could switch the Fields. You know, he's still going to be super valuable no matter where he's at. So that's another guy I wouldn't mind investing in at the right price.
Yeah. And the thing to think about with Justin Fields too is, what was the narrative when he was the quarterback of the Steelers? It was that the Steelers turned him into a much more of a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Like that he wasn't running roughshod over all the defenses.
Yeah, he didn't have he didn't have these 150 yard rushing games, but he was still good.
So if he goes somewhere else, if he goes to, say, Indianapolis and he's backing up Anthony Richardson, all of a sudden now that becomes much more of a possibility, because Indianapolis is the kind of team to let their quarterback do that. Right. If he goes somewhere else, they might be the kind of team that says, hey, we'll let you run like crazy. And so it's those kinds of things that you're trying to pay attention to, is does the quarterback have the ability to run the football a bunch. And usually if they do, they will. And then what does that ceiling look like? Somewhere like the Colts, because of what we saw from Anthony Richardson, can be a place where if you have somebody who is just even slightly below average throwing the football, running purposes, they're going to be insane for fantasy.
Yeah.
And so going back to the warp tool a little bit, when you pull up one of these graphs, so like I've on my screen, I just have the quarterback line pulled up right now.
Okay.
Just run through the names that are there. Look at who are all these players, and does it differ from what you expected to be the players that are right next to each other? So like, would you have expected that Mason Rudolph is right next to Jordan Love? That's the case in the league that I'm in right now. Now, it might not tell you exactly why Mason Rudolph is next to Jordan Love, because it's just looking at raw fantasy points. But it's up to you to go, okay, how did this happen? What was the situation where we ended up that those two guys are right next to each other in a warp per game? Like, just... If I'd started Jordan Love for every week, I could have just replaced him with Mason Rudolph every week Mason Rudolph was starting. I would have gotten the same outcome. Right. And it really gives you a lot of perspective into why do we have such value on different sections of players, like where the top tier is worth so much more than like this middle tier where we say, oh, it gets pretty flat. And you can tell, okay, this is where like the replacement players really come in. When you're looking at, okay, Joe Flacco is sitting there right next to Caleb Williams. You've got Drew Locke also right next to him. But then those two guys, Flacco and Locke, they're above Derek Carr and above Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. And you start looking at, okay, these backup quarterbacks that come in that have some amount of upside, because we know that Joe Flacco, he just slings the ball. Yep. That's what he does when he's the quarterback. We know that, hey, when we get Justin Fields, he's going to run it. We know Malik Willis, he's going to run it. Like, you start identifying, okay, who can I replace with these guys when they're starting? Who should I expect is the guy on your bench? And so you can build a team around, all right, I've got Derek Carr as my quarterback too. It's not great, but it's a body. And then when one of these high-value backups is going to start next week, I have them on my bench, and I know I'm starting them over Derek Carr. All of a sudden, your team becomes really scary if you put that value into building up at other positions. So it's one of those, as with everything, what Warp helps with is identifying roster construction, identifying how do I want to build my team? What are the archetypes of players I want to aim for at my different positions? Mm-hmm. And it can help you identify, I want to have these kinds of quarterbacks, or if I don't have these kinds of quarterbacks, what is the right range to be in? Where can I, what are the right kinds of players that I can identify to say, all right, this guy doesn't have a lot of value, but he's giving me the most bang for my buck. I'm spending that second round pick, and I'm just getting somebody who I know is decent, and I know isn't going to be complete trash that I could just replace off the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, some of the guys, like your roster constructing. So, you know, if you have that Derek Carr as your QB2, you got, you know, Russell Wilson or Matt Stafford, whoever it is. Like, I think trying to be able to acquire some of these backup quarterbacks that have a little bit of rushing ability, or maybe have the ability to have like these 300-yard passing games, kind of like Flacco a little bit. But who are some of the like backup quarterbacks you like? So like you mentioned Malik Willis. I think Daniel Jones could be a guy. Mm-hmm. Like say if he went to the Rams and like had a year behind Stafford and in that offense, and then maybe he took over. Like, I think Daniel Jones could be – we've seen his rushing ability before. I think he could be one. Joe Milton, we saw what he was at the end of the season. Like, there's a lot of intrigue there. Josh Dobbs, I mentioned earlier. I think Tyrod Taylor, if he ended up getting a backup job again, he's got the rushing ability to make something happen. Is there any other, like, backup quarterbacks you think people should acquire, like, that are kind of, like, in that mold?
As all those names, I think you've hit almost every single one of the good rushing backup quarterbacks. You might be able to find some, like somebody like Drew Locke wasn't, he doesn't he rush a terrible ton, but he did at least move out of the pocket some, and he was willing to take off here and there. So, like, maybe in the right kind of situation, I'm kind of thinking, like, somewhere like Tampa Bay, where, like, Baker Mayfield is able to take off occasionally and yep. has that, and they pass the ball a ton. Like, you stick somebody who's mildly mobile and is in that offense, and they might surprise you if they have to come in and replace Baker.
I thought Mariota was another one, too, when he came in at the end of the year for Jaden once I made the playoffs. I thought Mariota... I'm not, like, super high on him, but, like, if he went somewhere, like, I wonder if, like, Mariota, if you could get him super cheap, like, even, like, a fourth-round pick and just a dart throw, like, before free agency, what if he goes back to Vegas and he's with Chip Kelly where he was at with in college? That's one that kind of intrigued me, like, if they just couldn't get their quarterback, they couldn't move up for Shador or Cam Ward or whatever. And, okay, we got Mariota, Minshew, and O'Connell. Like, I think Mariota could beat out those guys pretty easily and with the rushing ability there. So I think that's a guy, like, you could probably get super, super cheap as a throw-in in some trades that you could maybe be able to get that's got some fantasy upside. So you got to kind of think a little bit outside the box. I mean, I'm trying to think of some other guys. I'm looking at my list. Like, Tyler Huntley has a little bit of rushing ability, but I just don't think he's very good. The big one, I mean, I'm not recommending this guy, but Trey Lance. Everybody loved Trey Lance, but we've seen that experiment that it's not good.
Yeah, Trey Lance is, he's somebody where if he gets the opportunity, you're going to have to start him just on the chance mm-hmm. that he's figured it out on benches for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because that's also the problem with a lot of these backups. You just don't get to see them for a couple of years. You have no idea what's been going on, and all of a sudden they get a starting job, and you get to see, okay, they've had 3 years to work on it. Did it result in anything?
Yeah.
Oftentimes the answer is no, but you get some gems out of that every once in a while.
I think my favorite one, though, is probably Joe Milton, just because what we saw at the end of last year, his rushing ability. I think he could be somebody that I don't think he could be a full-time starter, but as a guy who could start a few games here and there if you need him to, maybe a package-type player, I think he could be on the level of at least a Justin Fields, maybe a little less than Justin Fields.
Yeah, Joe Milton is one of those guys that if I am doing, because I know we've got some pre-NFL draft stuff in the South Harmon mm-hmm. leagues. If everything were to happen right now with what we know about Joe Milton, I would probably be aiming to take him at like the beginning or mid second. Just on that off mm-hmm. chance of, hey, he ends up somewhere that's got a weak quarterback situation. Like, say Vegas misses out on their first two, the Cam Ward and Shador Sanders. They take Joe Milton in the early second. All of a sudden, now that is, like, amazing for fantasy purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
I agree with that.
I think it's probably pretty likely that somebody like him, in terms of how a lot of the NFL teams are looking at him and how he did in passing these past few years and things like that, that they look at him as, hey, he's going to be a really solid backup.
Mm.
And you're still going to want that, because we just see quarterbacks, they get injured. The backups are going to come in, and the backups are going to play however they play. Like, there's they're never going to step in and do exactly as the starter does. They always still have their own identity, and Joe Milton's identity is he runs a lot.
Yeah.
And plugging him in for those couple weeks, if you roster construct yourself right, where, okay, you have that spot where you had that Derek Carr, you had that Geno Smith, in somebody like that in that second quarterback spot, you plug in Joe Milton instead, and you're off to the races.
Absolutely. Another thing I wanted to bring up, too, that I think some people might be thinking about is, hey, what's the difference between a four-point passing touchdown league and a six-point passing touchdown league? And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but four-point per passing touchdown league, that favors the rushing quarterbacks even more just because, you know, your Joe Burrows and Baker Mayfields that throw 40 touchdowns, those points aren't counting for as much. So 4 point per passing touchdown, definitely want those rushing quarterbacks a lot more. 6 point per passing touchdown, do you have a balance? I mean, I think I still would prefer the rushing quarterbacks regardless, but how much more would you push up like a Burrow or a Mayfield type player, you know, compared to the top tier rushing quarterbacks or even the second tier rushing quarterbacks?
I push them up a little bit more in 6 point. What 6 point to me makes it is I don't need to have a rushing quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not forced in it. The way I like to play is I tend to like to have a one of my quarterbacks be one of those top four guys. If you go look at my roster ship percentages, they're like through the roof on every single one of those guys, because I try to have at least one of them on every single team, if not multiple. And it makes it, when you have that 6 point, okay, I maybe don't need to have the Josh Allen, but if I'm not having Josh Allen, I need to make it up somewhere else. I need to make it up with top tier running backs, top tier wide receivers, something like that. And I don't really want to fully punt the quarterback position. Like, so is getting somebody like that Joe Burrow, getting being able to find that Baker Mayfield, or even like that Sam Darnold, like when he explodes, just like buying in really early and filling that in as your top quarterback spot, is it's a little bit easier to do, but it's still not easy. Like the rushing quarterbacks, they still have a huge difference. That 4 point versus 6 point is not that drastic. Probably talking like 4 points a game in terms of the difference of, okay, how many more are the quarterbacks scoring as a baseline? But that goes for everything. If the quarterbacks are like Lamar Jackson, because he did so many of his passes through the air as opposed to on the ground this past season, those points are the same compared to the other passing quarterbacks. It's only the rushing touchdowns that are really that difference. And when you look at how many rushing touchdowns those quarterbacks are putting up, it's not that many. If you said a quarterback has one rushing touchdown per game, like that's a lot.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at, okay, it's a 2 point per game difference in terms of relative to the other quarterbacks. And that 2 points per game is usually not going to break anything open. Where it becomes a huge difference for the 6 point passing touchdown is comparing it to the other positions. Now all of a sudden that 6 points, because they scored three touchdowns on average per game, is now 6 points that the quarterbacks are getting, and the wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends, they have no boost. Yeah. So those quarterbacks mean so much more now because they are scoring so many more points.
Yep. Yeah, and to, like, if you don't have the rushing quarterbacks, you literally have to have two quarterbacks that are super efficient and hitting like that high 30s to low 40s touchdown mark, both of your quarterbacks. Like, you have to have that Darnold and Jared Goff. Like, it's possible you can get those guys in round three and round, you know, Darnold was going a lot later than that in startups last year. Like, the only problem is, like, there's only a select few of these guys. Like, not every single quarterback's doing this and finding the right ones. Like, you know, Geno Smith, his year that he finally started, like, nobody was really interested in him, but he killed it. And he won a lot of people a lot of money, just the way that he played that season. So you got to be able to find those quarterbacks in the right situations with the right coaching, all that kind of stuff. That's why I brought up Daniel Jones. Like, if Stafford went down and, say, Daniel Jones was the backup for the Rams, like, that's a spot I'm interested in. So there are certain quarterback spots, like San Francisco, the Rams, the Vikings, that I'm definitely interested in the backups, like whoever they are, just because they're going to be put in a pretty good position to have success. So that's another one that I like. Anything else on Warp that we should touch on, because we didn't get to it yet?
The biggest thing that I just want to touch on for just using the tool as a whole is when we start talking about it, if you, I have a tab that I call the roster construction tab. It gives you a number of how many of each position you should roster. So if you're looking at the recommended data, you look at multi-year roster construction. The league that I'm looking at, it says 3.42 quarterbacks. Quarterback is one of the positions where when you look at that number, it's not, hey, I want to roster between 3 and 4. You know that those quarterbacks are going to be scoring zeros, and they're highly predictable. So you want to be rostering more of those guys than that 3 to 4 number. But what it tells you is that on average, for any given team, only 3.4 quarterbacks are useful that year. And so if this is a best ball league, that's something that you need to balance. You need to figure out, are you going to be willing to take those zeros on your team? Or are you going to go into the season, have a ton of flexibility, have a bunch of seconds and thirds and things like that to be able to go buy all these quarterbacks when they're becoming relevant? When you're getting those spot starts from the backup quarterbacks, are you going to fill them in by going and getting those guys? Or are you going to look at the 4 you already have and say, hey, that's good enough? So those are some of the decisions that you're going to have to make at the quarterback position that you don't need to make as much at the running back and wide receiver and tight end.
Yeah,
because the quarterback is that highly predictable. And running back, you get some of that prediction as well, but you also have a lot of fuzziness in terms of, like, you have guys that that are like the running back twos on their team. They could do well that week. They could not because of running back backfield splits. But quarterbacks, you go into the week, there's only 32 guys that you want. The 33rd quarterback means nothing for fantasy purposes, unless you know that going into the game, you're like, I just know that they're going to bench this guy at halftime, and then the second half, this other guy's going to come in. Great. Now you got half unless a game out of the quarterback.
Unless you have the Cleveland Browns quarterback and you know the backup's coming in for sure.
Yeah. Yep. That's basically the only situation. And so when you're looking at roster construction, keep that in mind, that if you have a number that is higher, like I know in some of my best ball leagues, I have a number that is like 4.2 or 4.3 with some of those.
Okay.
That means you want to have a lot of those quarterbacks. You want to be willing to eat some of those zeros, so that way you have multiple of these guys in your lineup, or you just want to have a ton of starters. You want to have every single one of those Derek Carr, Geno Smith, like those guys that barely mean anything. Like,
yeah, but they'll have a game once in a while.
They're going to have a couple games. You want to have them on your team, or they might just combine to give you a decent enough floor. Like, it doesn't need to be, hey, Derek Carr goes out there, he throws for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Like, if he goes out there and he does 250 for 2, that can help cover for a week where hey, the guy that you're expecting to normally go for 303 just has a bad week. He gets 183 and one and two picks. Like, all of a sudden, now you're saving that spot off of that best ball construction. And just by having some of those guys in there and using the roster construction to help guide you of like, okay, this is how many starters I feel like I want on a per week basis. And then just knowing, okay, I need to be comfortable getting more because more of those guys are not counted in this data. Every single backup quarterback that did not start in the NFL last year is not counted on warp. He scored zero fantasy points. But they easily could have been relevant if the starter had gone down. Think of every single one of the starters that we talked through for how did they do this past year. Who is their backup? And that's somebody that should be relevant. That immediate backup you're going to want to have just because you never know who's going to be the guy that's actually coming in.
Right, right. So you did mention the roster construction there and how many quarterbacks you should own. Is there like a reason why it's not showing like maybe that you should have an extra quarterback, or is it just like the formula, or
it has to do with the formula? You'll notice at the bottom I say that take all these with a grain of salt. Right. The way it comes up with the number is it says, okay, how many of this position had positive warp on the season, and then it divides it by the number of teams in your league. And so in the league that I'm looking at this very moment, it's a lineup league, and there it's given me the number of 3.42. Now, I know that this is a 12-team league, so if I just go over to 3.42 and I multiply it by 12, there were 41 quarterbacks who had positive warp for at least one game that this past season where you actually started them. You were actually expected to, like, you knew that it was coming, you started them, and you got it. And so when you look at that number, you say, okay, on any given week, you only need to start 24. But we know that we have like 1.6, 1.7, the number over the course of the season. And of those, 9 of them have to be out of the top 32 at the beginning of the season. And some of those might even be in the top 32, but it might be even more outside the top 32. And when you start looking at those numbers of, okay, how many are outside that range, it's, you end up saying, okay, if I'm trying to get somebody outside the top 32 to fill in a spot, I only have about a third of a chance of them even being relevant. But that third of a chance is something where if you are roster constructed where you're expecting to fill a spot off of a backup quarterback, is something that you want. You want to have that upside. But just not everyone hits. Malik Willis, right, he only hit a couple games this year. He only started two. You can look at somebody like Mariota. Like, he came in that week 18, but that wasn't fantasy relevant. Like, he very easily could have started 6 games if Jaden Daniels got a high ankle sprain. And all of a sudden, now you have a backup who has that good rushing ability, has what we're looking for out of a backup quarterback, and he's slotting in to that spot in your lineup. You just don't have him accounted in this warp data because warp is purely looking at fantasy outcomes. It has no relevance to it. It does not understand how the NFL actually works. Like, gotcha. And that's the uniqueness about it, is it helps cut through a lot of your biases that way. Right. When you think about, oh, I want to have some of these guys because, oh, I think that this player did really well. Like, if you're looking at the resulting data from this past year and you're like, oh, I thought that Bo Nix did really well. The answer is yes, he did really well. in context. He did really well in quarterback 9, which in the league that I'm looking at, it matches up to wide receiver 12, but that also matches up to running back 20. And so if you're looking at, okay, how do I make a difference to my team? Well, if I had Bo Nix, I am falling behind the managers that had Devon Achane, James Cook, Chase Brown, James Conner, David Montgomery, Bucky Irving, Aaron Jones, Breece Hall, DeAndre Swift, and J.K. Dobbins. Like, every single one of those guys was in front of Bo Nix for the league that I'm looking at right now. And you need to understand, okay, how does all this fit in context? How do I determine how valuable a quarterback is to me? Because of all those names that I just read off for all those running backs, they all come onto your team cheaper than Bo Nix does, maybe with the exception of Achane and Breece Hall. I think every other running back is somebody that you could have gotten for Bo Nix. So if somebody's willing to pay you a premium for Bo Nix because he's a young quarterback, he's a rookie, he's somebody that they want to believe in the long term, and they're willing to give you some other quarterback that is maybe a little bit down from him, like maybe they're going to give you that Tua Tagovailoa or something, but they're giving you that upgrade at running back where, okay, you were running into the season with Javonte Williams. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden that Javonte Williams to Aaron Jones jump means a lot, because you're getting a full warp there, and that Bo Nix down to that Tua, you're only going down 0.8. It looks disgusting, and it goes back to like some of the crusty trades that Mike makes in his best ball leagues, where he trades one top tier asset and he gets like six guys that you're like, all six of those guys I might want to buy for a third, if that. Like, those kinds of trades, they look disgusting. But when you start piecing it together from a warp perspective, what is the difference? How much of an upgrade am I getting at other positions? You start to realize that there's pockets where you can find value. And the pockets for quarterbacks is, once you have somebody that is quarterback like 10 to like 20, 25, like, those guys are close enough that if anybody has a ton of dynasty value because they're just young, because they're somebody that people are like, oh, they're solid, they've got a 5-year contract. Like, you're Trevor Lawrence. He's got a good contract down there in Jacksonville. He's never going to be better than quarterback 10, more than likely.
Yeah, I agree.
So if I'm just going to if people are going to put value on him, they're going to say, hey, Jacksonville, I really like what they've got going on with the new head coach. I think that offense is going to turn around because they're going to throw the ball a ton like Tampa. Well, unless you think Trevor Lawrence is going to do literally what Baker Mayfield did last year, then you should be saying, I'll sell the hype to somebody else.
Yeah.
Go crustier, quote unquote, at the quarterback position. And then take all that value, dump it in somewhere else. Because the quarterbacks in those range, they're all pretty similar. And the jump that you can make by upgrading at another position that still has that giant slope, where you can see, hey, these running backs, like, there is a huge difference between running back 30 and running back 10. Whereas that difference between quarterback 12 and quarterback 25 is not as big.
Mm-hmm.
So you make that upgrade at the running back position, now you're in a better position to compete. You're going to win more weeks off of that.
Okay. So another question I had for you, and it kind of was what you were going on there a little bit ago. There was in the trade channel on the Patreon Discord, there was a trade of Bo Nix or the 101. And it was pretty overwhelmingly Bo Nix. Would you take the 101 over Bo Nix?
I would take the 101. The listeners could not see my reaction when I heard you say, and it was overwhelmingly Bo Nix. So I was just
I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. But see what the poll is at now, but yeah, here it is. It was at like 5-1. Now it's 5-3. So
okay, but still, I would be going for the 101 in almost all circumstances. The only place where I would consider going Bo Nix was a league that is so heavy on the quarterback warp that I can see, okay, that it. So one thing, the multi-year warp, what it has is it has value for rookie picks. Yeah. So I have a little rookie line in there. And so like the league that I'm looking at right now, last year Bo Nix was quarterback 9. Quarterback 9 lines up with the 103 in terms of rookie pick value.
Okay.
Now, this class, it is a little bit depressed. Like if that 101 was lined up with quarterback 9, I would maybe be like, hey, we can have a discussion. But it is so far ahead. We're talking 101 is the equivalent of quarterback 4 on a year-over-year basis. And the running back position as well, with that being our likely 101 pick with Ashton Jeanty, is one of those positions where it is a lot safer of a position to draft in terms of drafting with a really high draft pick in terms of that warp value. You tend to end up with a running back that is drafted that high and still ends up in that top range of running backs where you're ending up with a running back 1 or at the very least a really high running back 2. Whereas the wide receivers, they can end up being a wide receiver 3 really easily. The quarterbacks, they can end up being a giant nothing burger, like a quarterback 2 that flames out in 3 years. Like...
Okay.
You get those huge variances, whereas with running back, it is a little bit safer.
Okay. One more thing before we close it out here. What about the rookie quarterbacks this year? Who are you going to be prioritizing just based off of kind of thinking about what their potential warp could be?
So I am staying away from Shador Sanders from a... I expect him to be a quarterback 1.
Okay.
The reason being, look at his rushing stats. Like, he just does not run the football. Cam Ward at least does a little bit. Like, he might get you, like, 10, 15, maybe 20 yards a game. But yeah, he's not going to do a ton. And so... For fantasy purposes, in terms of where is the ceiling, Cam Ward's ceiling is higher.
Yeah.
Now,
for sure.
I'm not going to argue about what the floors of these two quarterbacks are. That's for everyone that actually analyzes NFL quarterbacks, what they want to decide, and that is not me. But from a ceiling perspective, Cam Ward's ceiling is slightly higher. In the grand scheme of things, is it that much different? No. Because they're both in that flat tier.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of them is going to be those top rushing quarterback difference. They are not Jaden Daniels from last year, where we said they have the potential to just absolutely explode.
Yeah.
And so I would be looking at it as if you have conviction in one of those two guys over the other, you go with that. You think that, hey, Cam Ward is going to do better at the NFL level than Shador, take Cam Ward. If you think Shador is going to do better than Cam Ward, take Shador. Like, go with who you think is going to do better at the NFL level, be a better NFL quarterback, rather than playing for fantasy purposes.
Yep.
Last year, I took Jaden Daniels along with Mike at the 101 over Caleb Williams. And the reason I did that everywhere I did it was because the ceiling potential there from a warp perspective was just too different. Even if you believe that Caleb Williams had better likely outcomes from an NFL perspective than Jaden Daniels, you could not argue with the fact that how Jaden Daniels would potentially score fantasy points would dwarf Caleb Williams in comparison.
Right. I agree with that.
And so... there isn't anybody that is like that in this class. Milton is the best that we have that is somewhat close to that, but he's not an everyday starter. We know that pretty clearly. He's not going
to
come in.
Well, he would
in
have
like
to get he would have to get traded from the Patriots. I think you're talking about Milroe.
Milroe, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Milroe is he's not an everyday starter. Yeah. He's not somebody who is going to
He needs a lot of development, kind of like he needs more development than Lamar did and more than Jalen Hurts did, but he's probably like on a Malik Willis level.
Yep. And so that's not what you go for at the top level.
Yeah.
But if there's somebody to take a flyer on late, like you've got this lineup league, you can afford to take some extra zeros on your team and just get a backup who's got some serious upside, Milroe is absolutely who you want to go for.
Absolutely. Yep. I agree with that. I think another one that I really like too, that's kind of in the same mold, not as many rushing yards as I think Jalen Milroe could get, but Riley Leonard from Notre Dame, I think he could be a Daniel Jones level rusher. Like, I think he could get 600 yards rushing and, he could be a guy who's going to run at the goal line and stuff like that. I don't know if he's going to get the draft capital, but if he gets, a pretty decent backup job, lands in a solid spot, I'm definitely interested in Riley Leonard. I think he could be somebody that could be a warp guy too.
Yeah, and don't forget that a lot of these teams, the even more this past season than years prior, they'll have the starting quarterback, they'll have the veteran backup, and then they'll have the rookie third stringer. Mm-hmm. And then when the starter goes down, you would think it's the guy that's been the backup quarterback that has actually been like dressed for coming in like the previous 7 weeks of the season to be the guy that comes in and starts, and they just pass right over him and give it to the rookie.
Yeah, kind of like the Saints did with Rattler.
Yep. And so pay attention to, hey, are they keeping that rookie on the roster? Like a guy like Riley Leonard. If he gets drafted in the sixth round, there's the possibility he goes to the practice squad.
Yeah.
But if he makes that 53 man, I would almost be more inclined to have him over the normal backup, because they probably are going to give him the shot if you get to week 9 and they need a starter.
Right. Is there any other quarterbacks that you could think of in this draft that you kind of like as maybe some warp difference maker type guys, possibly?
I haven't gone far. The only two were Milton and Leonard that I knew were big rushers at the collegiate level. I haven't dug too far into anyone else in this class yet to know who has that potential, but I'm sure there will be some that come up as we look through it.
Yeah, I think a couple other guys that come to mind, Dylan Gabriel can run the ball a little bit, surprisingly. Like, you would think he was just some fucking left-handed statue that sat back there, but no, he can actually run some RPO. He had a run this year for Oregon where he ran it like 40, 50 yards down the sideline, gone. Not saying that Dylan Gabriel is going to come in and run for 600 yards at the NFL level, but he does have the ability to run. Will Howard, we saw at Ohio State, he can run a little bit, so that's another guy. A guy that I really like, Cam Miller from North Dakota State, he can run the ball a little bit too. So that's just to name a few guys that you can kind of target at the end of your drafts and kind of think about, hey, these guys have some upside in the rushing ability. So just wanted to bring that up. Anything else we need to touch on before we get on out of here?
No, just if you haven't checked out the Warp tool, go to warp.life and check it out. It's right there on the South Harmon website, and it is one of the tools that we use all the time. You go back to the episode that I did with Eric here probably a month ago at this point about my startup strategy, and I literally use it over looking at the league scoring settings. Like, I told Eric, and it cracks me up every time I think about it, but I oftentimes don't know the exact scoring settings of my league because I'm just looking at the Warp tool.
Right. That's like one of the first things I look at, and I was like, huh, you don't look at the settings? Are you crazy? But yeah, I agree with you. I also want to mention that's also $690 per month. So if you go on the warp.life website there, it is $690 per month. So you can just get a monthly shot at it, kind of take a look at it. I'm sure we'll run some promos maybe around the draft or stuff like that, that people can maybe get it for a little bit of a discount. So keep an eye on the at South Harmon FF X account, so you can maybe check that out there. You can also get it for a full year. I believe the full year is $69, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, $69. So if you want to just buy it for the full year, lock in a little bit of a discount for $69. And then also another thing that, you know, gets overlooked sometimes, if you want to learn more about Warp and learn about the intricacies of everything and how it's used, we have on the website as well, it's called Mind Warped, and it's a series with Adam and Scott Connor. They do a Mind Warp video series. It's like 25 videos or something, and basically teach you everything you need to know about Warp. So that is available still on the website as well. If you want just the audio version, that is $29.69. That's a one-time fee just to get the audio version. If you want to do video and audio, that's a $69 one-time fee. Or if you want to get Mind Warp plus a one-year membership to Warp, that's $125. So you'll get the video, the audio, and a full one-year subscription to Mind Warp. That's $125. So it's a really good value. If you're really interested in the Warp, I would suggest checking it out for sure. And also all of our other great tools that are on the website. We have team reviews. Team reviews is a good time to start getting in there right now. If you want Adam, Mike, myself, Koopa's on there, Maddie's on there, I'm pretty sure, any of us to check it out, your team, we can do that for you. We'll do a video review. If you want to join us and ask live questions, you're more than welcome to. That's always a good thing to always check out. The lab is on there. All kinds of good stuff on there. The store, you know, if you want to buy some merch, buy some of our rankings that we're going to be putting up on there soon too. And the big one that I do want to mention is our rookie draft guide. So I know Adam and Mike and Maddie did talk about this. Our South Harmon rookie draft guide is going to be happening this year. First time ever that we're going to be doing this. So if you want a preview of it, go to the southharmonff.com website. You can get the first draft profile that's already up there, which is Ashton Genty. You can get all the analytics, see what it looks like, what it's all going to look like there. Click get the draft guide there on the website, and you can just purchase it to see the, you know, what we're going to be offering here for all of our prospects that we're going to be putting up on the draft rookie draft guide this year for you guys. So it's something new that we're going to be trying out this year. So I would definitely recommend it to everybody. Go check it out on the southharmonff.com website. And then also patreon.com/southharmon. Make sure you join that as well. You can come join any of our tiers there. You can join the dollar tier, or you can join the pregame pooper tier, which is the $8 tier. You get access to our rankings there as well if you're in that tier. So that's a definitely a big benefit to that tier. But even if you just join the dollar tier, it's an amazing community. Trades, joining new leagues, league advice, mock drafts. You know, we do mock draft Mondays right now in the Discord. All kinds of fun stuff is going on over there on the Discord channel. So if you haven't joined with us yet, please do recommend it to your friends, your family, whoever, your coworkers, people you play in leagues with. Recommend it to them. Come join us. Have everybody join us. We would love to have everybody in the Discord channel as well. Koopa, did I miss anything?
I think you nailed it all. A lot of stuff going on at South Harmon. Check out everything.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting ready for this draft guide and a bunch of other stuff that we're going to be adding to the website and to the team this year. So I'm looking forward to it. So with that, let's wrap it up. Let's go ahead and do an America's favorite game, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah.
All right. So I got to do it this week. It is a it's Daytona 500 week.
Yep.
So I got to give you a NASCAR question.
I knew it was coming. I was like, it's Daytona 500 this Sunday. Of course, yes, we're going to be doing NASCAR.
I've done, I think all we've done usually are Formula One questions, so I got to give you a little different sport. So do you have a favorite NASCAR driver, either past, present, future, whatever?
So Dale Jr. Is my favorite NASCAR driver. It's just out of camera shot, but I've got a whole Dale Jr. thing where I've got like some lug nuts from his car. I had a trip with my dad when I was maybe 10, I think it was, to Dover. And so we got to go on the track walk before the race, and we were walking through the pits, and we were talking to some of the pit crew members from, at the time it was the 88 crew, and they was talking to us, and he was like, oh, let me go grab some lug nuts, and grab some used lug nuts out of their bin and handed them to me. So I've got some of that off him. But there was also a time in there where I was a Casey Kane fan as well.
Okay.
So it was like I was a Dale Jr. fan for a little bit, and then I kind of switched to Casey Kane for like probably it was like 07 through 09 maybe. And then went back to Dale Jr. for the rest of his career. But since he retired, I've kind of not latched on to any drivers in particular. I've kind of just latched on to I tend to root for the Hendrick guys. I don't know why it's necessarily the Hendrick guys are the ones that I'm rooting for. I just noticed that I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm liking a Chase Elliott. Oh, he's a Hendrick guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm liking Alex Bowman. Oh, wait, he's a Hendrick guy. Like it just happens to be that they all end up in that. Maybe it's the Chevy on the front that I like. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they're one of the most popular teams, so I don't blame you. But no, that's cool that you like Dale Jr. I was also a Dale Jr. fan. So I started, obviously, with my dad was a big Dale Sr. fan. So obviously, I liked Dale Sr. a lot growing up. Kind of then when I started really getting into it as a kid is like, yeah, I like Dale Earnhardt, but I found like my own guy. So I was a big Mark Martin fan. So I liked him for a while, pretty much all the way up to his Hendrick days. And then once he stopped, I had to kind of find somebody else. So I liked Dale Jr. there. And then when Martin Truex Jr. went to the 78 car and he started just really – I had always liked him because he was friends with Dale Jr. Like, they were iRacing buddies and stuff. Like, they would always do stuff together. So, and he was on DEI with him back in the day and all that stuff. So I became a big Martin Truex Jr. fan all the way. Still am. So he just retired last year, so I kind of have to find somebody new now, now that Dale Jr.'s gone, Martin's gone. So I've been listening for the last 2 years. I've been listening to Denny Hamlin's podcast, and everybody hates Denny Hamlin. But I've kind of grown to like him a little bit more. So I've kind of like rooting for him this year. I also like Shane Van Gisbergen, who's just came on. He's got a full-time ride now. He's like a road course ace. Doesn't have a lot of oval experience. So I'm kind of just jumping on the bandwagon with him and just kind of start where he's starting his career, and hopefully I latch on to a good driver because he's a hell of a talented driver, especially on road courses. Like, he's one of the fastest road course drivers out there. His first NASCAR race 2 years ago, which was on the very first street race that NASCAR ever did in Chicago, he won the fucking thing. So pretty good to go out and win your very first race against, you know, this elite competition right now. But I mean, NASCAR right now, like, it's not as popular as it was in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, it's probably never going to get to that point ever again. But I would say right now the competition is, like, super, super good. Like, I think a lot of it has to do with the cars are pretty similar, which helps. But, like, you're literally battling for like 25th, and it's two good drivers. Like, it's not two slouches. Like, it's, you know, two of the better drivers in the world, and they're battling for 24th, 25th. So I think NASCAR is definitely a little bit on the upswing, and I'm excited for the Daytona 500 this week. Do you have a I don't know if you're going to watch the race. Do you have a prediction for who you think is going to win?
I mean, my gut in terms of like who do I think has a really good shot to win it, it's always going to be Joey Logano. He's shown that he can ride himself right up there near the front. He's coming off of winning the championship last year. Like, if he had to put a favorite, at least in my mind, it's him.
Yeah, the Fords have been dominant at Daytona the last 2 or 3 years with this new car. Like, they are just faster than every other car out there. So Logano, Blaney, a lot of those guys have a really good shot for sure. I picked him last year, and it didn't work out. I'm going to pick him again this year. I think Kyle Busch is going to finally get it done. Like, he's got to get it done, right? He's one of the best drivers in NASCAR history and hasn't won the race yet. And last year would have been the same amount of years that it took Dale Earnhardt to win his first Daytona 500. So that's why I was thinking he was going to do it last year, but didn't work out. I think Kyle Busch gets it done this year, even though I'm not a fan of his. I still would like to see one of the best drivers, you know, win the Daytona 500. I always hate like these like great players or great ones that just couldn't get it done because for whatever reason, like their team wasn't good enough. Like, you know, nobody talks about Dan Marino as one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but he is. But he never won a Super Bowl and only went to one Super Bowl. You know, nobody really talks about him in like even the top five of greatest quarterbacks of all time. So I'd like to see, I just for history purposes, I'd like to see Kyle Busch finally break it and get that first big win.
Yeah, Kyle Busch, he's been around for so long. It's almost one of those cases of like, he deserves to have one.
Yeah, this is his 21st try, I believe, or 22nd.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, he's been around for almost the entire time that I've been watching NASCAR.
Which I think he started in 04, 05 in NASCAR, so yeah.
Yeah, and so you just, when you have somebody that's just been around that long, it's like, you just want, you might hate him because of, like, he plays the heel role really, really well. Like, he's really good at being, and he's really hot-headed, and you might hate him for all his antics, but I don't think there's anybody out there that follows NASCAR that would argue that he should not have a Daytona 500.
Yeah. And this is maybe Truex's last one. He's just in a one race ride this week for that, cause since he retired, but they brought him back just for this race. He never does good at, he's never won a fucking restrictor plate race, which is Daytona, Talladega, Atlanta. He's never won one of those, so I doubt he's winning it. But I always throw $5-$10 on him just in case he wins.
He's gotten so close a couple times, I think.
Yeah, he had one with Denny Hamlin. He was like 0.03 or something like that.
Yeah.
He was like literally neck and neck with him to win it. So he always just ends up in the fucking wreck. That is what happens.
Yeah.
There's always these massive wrecks, and then... So one other thing that I'll just bring up since it's kind of we're talking about it. So I always did DraftKings and making lineups, and I would make 40, 50 lineups, and they're like $15, $20 a piece. So I would take out like $500, $600 of my fantasy football winnings every year and dump it into DraftKings just for the Daytona 500 and make lineups. So I never really won it big or anything like that, but it is so hard to like – come up with combination of six drivers and they have to finish right because of all these damn wrecks. Like, you know how on most football ones or whatever, you want to max out all your dollars completely as much as you want. On for Daytona, you want to take these guys that are starting like 30th to 40th, and you want to have almost like four of those guys. And if those four guys hit and have their place differential, like, you know, go from like 39th to second, that's a huge, huge point swing in DraftKings. So like, you're not spending, you might have $10,000 of money still on the table for your DraftKings lineup, just because that's just the way the Daytona races and Talladega races are. Like, there's just so many wrecks. You know, it's not all about, you know, cars or, you know, how good this driver is. Like, the shittiest driver can finish second or third as long as their car can keep up. Like, You know, J.J. Yaley finished, like, third 1 year. B.J. McLeod's, like, finished top 10 a couple times. So, like, these guys are, like, starting parks every single week. But, you know, for Daytona, things definitely change, man. As long as your car can stay in the lead lap and you can run up there all day, you know, at least in the back until the chaos, avoid the chaos, get a top 10 out of it. Like, there's multiple stories of, you know, cars that shouldn't even be sniff a top 10 ending up in the top 10.
Yeah, honestly, sometimes you want to get that guy who's going to be in that. Because there's always that pack of like seven cars that just falls back from the main pack of 35.
Yeah.
But they're a quarter of a lap behind, but it means when that wreck happens and it collects 20 of that first pack of 35, that pack of seven cars sails right on through. Yeah. And they're clean as a whistle. And then they next thing you know, you get to the end of the race, and one of those guys who spent three quarters of the race in 40th is now like the pushing somebody up into like third place, and you're like, oh, he's in fifth now? Like, where'd that come from?
Yep. And with these cars too, it's so difficult to pass, and it's like, usually these guys make this like the most boring race just because of how it is. Either fuel mileage, like they're literally backing off the pace and trying to make fuel mileage, or you just can't pass. Like, you can't pull out a line without help. And so they're usually like a two line pack, or sometimes they'll just run the top line of the track and literally run around there for 100 laps, like just as a top line train. And it's so boring to watch sometimes, but it's like, if you can just tune in for the last 50 laps or so, you're probably pretty good.
Yeah, the restrictor plate races are ones where you turn it on the TV and then you're doing something else.
Yeah.
And you just have it loud enough where, you know, when a crash is happening, you'll know, because the announcer's voice gets really excited because something's actually happening. And otherwise, you just keep looking over every once in a while, and when you get to like 25, 30 to go, you're like, okay, now I can tune back in.
Yeah,
now I can actually pay attention and watch the last 20 minutes of this race.
Yep. All right. Well, sorry for boring all the listeners if you made it this far with our NASCAR talk, but I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk racing with Coop. He's one of the only ones I can do it with, so I appreciate it. At Dynasty Coop or Koopa Troopa 8 on X, right?
And so it's at Dynasty Koopa on X, at Koopa Troopa 8 everywhere else.
Yep. Okay, I mixed it up. So, yeah, make sure you follow him there. I'm at Eric Vanek NFL on X, at America's Game Pod on X. Follow the at South Harmon FF account as well on X. And we will be back next week for episode 82, and that'll be quarterback prospects. So we're finally going to talk about the quarterback prospects in this draft class. So looking forward to that one next week. And we'll see you guys later.